Ephesians chapter number 5, found in our New Testament. Go through the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you'll come across Galatians, and then Ephesians. Be right there, Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you again for those that were here and helped out yesterday with the Fall Festival. We had a good time. Did anybody lose their voice yesterday? Anybody, a few people, maybe voice a little scratchy this morning? Yep. Well, that's all right. We had a good time together, and the Lord gave us a beautiful weather, and again gave us a great opportunity to meet folks from our community. And by the way, that's why we're here. We're here to be a light and blessing to our community by shining the love of Christ and the grace of the Lord Jesus. And so that was good, good spirit. And we even had a three-legged race that I did not win, okay? We came in fourth place, though, didn't we, honey? So we didn't give up. And so I'm thankful for that. And then we had a fun time, and then the kids were able to have a race, and so everything worked out. And I'm telling you what, Brother Jerry, those hot dogs were, I think, the best they've ever been. Old Jerry's famous hot dogs, they were good, weren't they, church, that you had them, man? How many did we eat, Jerry? We ended up eating about 150 of them, didn't we? 175 hot dogs. Boy, I tell you what. And we're thankful. And I'm not even going to ask how much cotton candy those kids ate yesterday. But I want to tell you, it was a lot of sugar that was consumed yesterday. And I'm sure they slept soundly last night. Amen. Thank you for your participation in that and rejoice in what the Lord's doing here at the Creek. Thank you for being here to worship this morning and to hear the Word of God. I trust it'll be a help. I'm very excited about this series that God has put on my heart, the series on the home. And something we always need to be growing in, something we always need to be hearing, this preacher included. We just need the help of God when it comes to the function and design of the family. We have things being pulled in every direction from us to get away from God's design. But with the Lord's help, we're going to be looking at His design over these next several weeks. So I would ask you, number one, please, and I mean this with everything that I have, please pray for me. Pray as I study. Pray as I prepare. Pray that I would say just exactly what God would have me say and what our church needs, what we need together. Please pray for me. And then secondly, I ask you to do your best to be here and invite friends. Maybe you know a family that would benefit and profit from this series that's not currently in a church. Maybe they don't even know the Lord. Invite them. Tell them that there's a series being preached on and taught on the family right now, and invite them out. And may the Lord use that for His glory. But these next several weeks, we will look at the different roles in the family and their individual responsibilities. The first and most important responsibility we're going to see is the same for every family member. Each of the family members that make up a unit, however God has that set up, we know there are times where there are single fathers, there are single mothers at times, and whatever that may be. But the case of the matter is everybody in the home has one commonality that they are responsible for, although there will be some different responsibilities according to their role, but there's one that's across the board the exact same. And that we see here in our passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," meaning there is waste. It's a waste that it says here, "but be filled with the Spirit." And the truth there is the opposite of what happens when one is drunk with wine. There's waste. But when one is filled with the Spirit, there's great profit. There's great blessing. And there's great glory to God Almighty because it's His design. And so for the child, I want to tell you, for the young person here, for the teenager here, I want you to know that for the wife, for the husband, for the mom, dad, we are all commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That word filled, we talked about it several Wednesdays ago. I did preach a message on that. But it basically carries the idea of being controlled. But not just controlled. It's a continuous control. controlling. It's an overflowing control. And God gave me an illustration just from our fall festival yesterday. We had this gigantic bouncy house. Well, it's a bouncy slide, I guess you'd call it. It wasn't really a house. And did any of you adults, now don't answer that, okay? Some of you adults may have got on it, but the kids had a blast. And the way that thing works is it has a continuous flow of air going into it. We have a fan that's plugged in and it's got a continuous that keeps it inflated. It keeps it functioning the way it's supposed to so those kids can get in there and get a great bounce, to get a great slide or whatever the case may be. And I want to tell you, that is a picture right there of a person who is filled with the Spirit of God. They will be controlled in such a way that they will function exactly how God intended them to function. An overflow. It's not just filled to capacity. That's not the design of that bouncy house. We could have filled it up, I suppose, and then turned the fan off. But over a period of probably about 5 to 10 minutes, you would gradually see that thing just kind of cave in. Because the design was to have a continuous filling. In church, it is God's will for us to have a continuous filling of His Spirit. That's how the home is going to function in harmony. That's how we're going to be able to get along without killing each other. One guy said he was challenged in this area. He said, "Have you ever thought about divorce?" He said, "Absolutely not. Murder a couple times, but not divorce." You know, we need God's filling. We need God's control for us to have the homes that the Lord intended. Let me give you this quote here. Adrian Rogers, who's now with the Lord, one of my favorite preachers. If you don't have an opportunity to listen to Adrian Rogers, it will be a great investment of your money to get every message he's ever preached. He was a great preacher of the Word of God. But he made this quote: "The same Jesus who turned water into wine can transform your home, your life, your family, and your future. He is still in the miracle working business, and His business is the business of transformation." That's God's business. Transformation. Changing us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, you know something that God uses greatly to change us, to help change us? It's called family. It's called being a child in the family. It's called being a parent or a husband or a wife, a spouse. God uses these things to transform us. And with the Lord's help, we're going to be looking at these different roles that are represented in this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 22. But it'll take us through verse 33. So hopefully over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to work through this passage of Scripture that I'm asking the Lord to truly transform us through as we hear the Word of God. Let's first read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And we're just going to read through verse 24. The Bible says here, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." The first role we're going to look at is the role of the wife in the family. Not because we're not looking at the wife first because she's the one that needs it more. No, I'm simply just going to follow the order of the text. So please, ladies, don't get mad at me, okay? Going to follow the order of the text and it's going to give us a layout all the way through of what the different roles are. And ladies, I'll go ahead and tell you too, Paul spent 3 verses in this passage in reference to the specific with the wives, and he spends 6 with the men. So they will get double the messages at them. Okay. So we're going to see here how God expects these roles to function. Now, Paul is going to use the analogy of the church and Christ relationship, which is very significant to understanding this doctrine. He's going to use that analogy to help us to understand our marital roles. This morning's message is entitled this, "The Spirit-Filled Wife." We then, next week perhaps, or the following week, we will look at the Spirit-filled husband. We will look at Spirit-filled children. And then we'll look at the Spirit-filled father. We're going to look and see what God says about these things. But this morning, we're going to look at what does God say about the Spirit-filled wife. Let me pray, and you pray with me. Father, we commit this message to you. We ask that, God, it would be according to your will. And that, Father, we would all be benefited and helped for your great glory. I do pray for your power and unction. I pray for clarity of mind. And Lord, we do look forward to seeing how you will use this series for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Spirit-filled wife. He is going to, because in the context we read in verse 18 that it is God's will for us all to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And he's going to talk about these verses down below are going to relate right back to verse 18. Verse 18 is the foundational verse for understanding our roles in the home. And so we're going to talk about that. The wife has been given the sacred role of submitting to the leadership of her husband. And the word submission, by the way, church, is not a dirty word. In fact, it's a holy and sacred word that's used all throughout this sacred book that we do not take lightly. Oh, no doubt, my friends, it's been abused. No doubt, my friends, it's been neglected. But I want to tell you, as we take a look at the Word of God, we're going to take it at what God teaches. We're not going to read into things. We're not going to take away from things. We're going to simply take God at His Word. First of all, I want us to see several things. Number one, I want us to see the definition of submission. What is the definition of submission? Well, A very concise way of defining submission is this: to arrange under, to be ranked under, to put yourself under, or for someone to put you under. That is the basic meaning of this word. It is in the context here of role and responsibility, and please understand, not value. This word of submission has nothing to do with value, because the ground at the cross is level. There are no superiors, there are no inferiors in God's family. Amen? You see, what it's talking about here, church, is simply an order of the role you have in the home. This is speaking in the context of marriage. It's not just talking about any lady. It's talking about a married lady, a wife. And it's going to speak specifically of her husband, her own husband, not other men. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. But this submission is an attitude of the heart. It truly is for all of us. You see, biblical submission is this. Now, this is sort of a lengthy definition that I wrote out. It's probably not the best one, and it's definitely not the only one. But I'm going to read it to you anyway, because it helps me best understand biblical submission. Biblical submission is respectfully and trustingly placing myself, my needs, and my wants under the care and leadership of another. I'll say that again. Biblical submission is respectfully and trustingly placing myself, my needs, and my wants under the care and leadership of another. We're going to see examples of this submission. It is placing myself under someone and trusting them for the care and needs that are there in the context. Can I say this? Submission is a spiritual grace produced only by the Holy Spirit. You can't work biblical submission up. Because biblical submission is not just an outward conformity. We all can do that. You know, whether it be in our workplace or the church or the family, you can say all the ones, government. We can conform on the outside, but we can have a heart that's totally against it on the inside. And what that's not biblical submission. Biblical submission comes from the heart. And says, I want to do this because it glorifies God. That is what biblical submission is. Submission automatically implies humility every time. So that's the definition of submission. I'm sure you could get much better ones, but for the sake of this morning's message, that's the one I have. And I believe that that is the core meaning of that word, submission. It's the Greek word, hupotasso. And you see it used throughout the Word of God, and that is the meaning of it. But secondly, I want us to see the direction of submission. The direction of submission. You know, John MacArthur said this, and I believe it's very, very appropriate. He says this, submission is pervasive in every single relationship. Submission is pervasive in every single relationship. It is there. It must be there. As a Christian, it has to be there. You know, you can't be a good Christian without practicing submission. Can I get an amen right there? You see, it does go against the human heart, but you can't be a good Christian without biblical submission. And when we run into problems in our Christian life, you can always trace it back, or if you want to go that way, you can trace it back to where you came to a point where you rebelled instead of submitting. You see, we see here the direction of submission. It is something that all of us have. Number one, I want us to see this idea of submission is toward God. This is for every believer. This is for every believer, not just the wife. We'll get to the wife here of the context of the text here in just a moment. But we are all commanded to be submissive to God. Amen? James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Place myself under God Almighty. And resist the devil, and the devil shall flee. So there's that idea of, number one, for every believer saying, Lord, you are above me, and I am going to follow you. That's the first place of submission every believer should come to. And in order for somebody to get saved, they got to submit to God as well. They got to come to God and say, God, I can't get saved on my own. I got to come your way. I got to come by the way of the cross. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to submit myself to your way. And so we see that that is a way, but also the Bible commands Christians to submit to one another. Imagine that. We are commanded for each other to submit to each other. That means there is a deference that should take place in our lives. That when we submit to one another as believers, that means it should be often that I should put you before myself. I should put your needs before my needs. I should put your desires before my desires. I should put you before me. If you don't believe that, read Philippians chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us that perfect example. It goes through verses 1 through 5. We don't have time to look at it, but chapter 2, Paul says very clearly, look not on your own things, but on the things of others. Do not be considered in that vain glory where you're always putting yourself before others. That's a person who's not being controlled by the Spirit of God. If they constantly, it's me first, it's a me first life, mark it down, church. That person is not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. They're being self-controlled instead of Spirit-controlled. And so we see that this submission has to come from the Holy Spirit, but not only towards one another, but the Bible makes it clear that we're to submit to government. We have laws in our land that we abide by, and that is a general submission that every citizen must follow. I place myself under their care, if you will, in some ways, and under their control in some ways. And we understand that that is placing myself under. And if I go against that, it usually does not end well. So we see that there's toward government. We find that in 1 Peter 2:13. And then we also see that the Bible tells us to have submission towards leaders in the local church. That's found in Hebrews chapter 13, 17. Again, it carries the idea as a church member. We place ourselves under the care of the leaders of the church. We trustingly and respectfully do that. That's a teaching of the Word of God. Also towards our employers, those that are managers in the workplace and those that have been given the title as boss. We go to work and you know what we do? We go and we place ourselves under their care, if you will, under their direction. That's a biblical submission. By the way, we ought to do that. You ought to be a good employee as a Christian. Amen? You ought to have the testimony, and I ought to have the testimony when we go into the workplace, that we have a testimony of being submissive. Because it's a characteristic, ladies and gentlemen, of being controlled by the Spirit of God. It's not a dirty word. It's not a bad word. It's not a condescending word. It's a great word. And it's a word that ought to be true in every one of our lives. Amen? We see, now we move here to the context of this passage, and that is the context of wives being submissive to their own husbands. So you have a wife that is commanded here in the Scripture. And that has been from the beginning in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. We understand that God set this order in place. And I'll mention more about that here in just a moment. But this is not an isolated verse on submission when it comes to the wife to the husband. You'll also find it here in Ephesians 5:22. It's in 1 Peter 3:1, Colossians 3:18, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and also Titus 2:5. They're pretty much parallel passages and some differentiation there in some of them, but it all goes back to the central responsibility of the wife and her role to be submissive to her own husband. And so we see that this direction in this context is to one person that it's referring to, and that's her own husband. Now, we see the direction. It's for all of us. And it should be true in all of our lives. Sometimes you get the idea that the wife is the only one that gets picked on about submission. Well, if you think submission is a dirty word, Then you would have to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ committed a dirty act. Because He is the very one that uttered and showed that example of true biblical submission. He uttered up to the Father, "Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done." The triune God, they're equal in person. They are totally equal. We believe in the Trinity, but yet Jesus Christ and His function and role as the Son of God and the Lamb of God put Himself under the Father. Co-equal with the Father. Back to Philippians chapter 2, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon Himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. That is placing Himself under. What a great example. We'll see that in a minute more so. But then we see the definition of submission, the direction of submission. But then in the context of a dear wife, a sister in Christ who has been married, whether it be one day or whether it be 50 years, what is her role? What degree of submission do we go to? And this is where the water can get tainted, folks. This is where it has been polluted even by churches. Even by God's people have contaminated this truth and abused this truth. And by God's grace, I'm going to try to clear up some of the waters here this morning according to the Word of God. Now, notice first of all the degree of submission as unto the Lord. Look at your Bible. It says there, and it says verse 22, "Wives, submit unto your own husbands," and that's very important. You don't submit to other people's husbands, other wives' husbands. You submit to your own husband, and notice those next four words. What is that? Well, what does that mean? As unto the Lord. I believe that this means your submission to your husband is proof that you are trusting and submitting to Christ and to the work that you are trusting Him to work in your husband's life as you obey the command of Scripture. Let me just shorten that up a little bit. By you showing submission to your husband, and that phrase, as unto the Lord, you are proving that you are trusting Christ Jesus. You're submitting to Christ by allowing the Lord Jesus to work in your husband's life. As unto the Lord. This submission is not for your husband. Your husband is not worth submitting to. All you ladies said amen. Just kidding. He's not. You know what we are? We're sinners by nature. We do wrong things. We mess up. We're rude. We're ugly sometimes. And we're unfair and unjust. And listen, your husband many times is not worth submitting to. That's biblical. But I want to tell you who is worth submitting to. That's Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is teaching their wives. Submit unto your husbands that God has given you on this earth as you show your submission to Jesus Christ by following His command. It's a command of God. There are going to be times where you don't feel like submitting, that ladies, but you do it because of what Christ has commanded you to do. Now notice also this degree of submission. Not only is that as unto the Lord, but look what the Bible says there in verse number 20, at the end of verse number 24. It says, so as the church is subject unto Christ, it says, so let the wives be to their own husbands. And what's that next, the next three words there? In everything. Now this is where it can get a little bumpy. What does that mean? In everything. Well, I do believe you always compare Scripture with Scripture. I do believe the best commentary for the Word of God is the Word of God. And I'm going to show you here in a minute what I think it means. But first of all, we got to understand two things that I want to clarify here. I want to clarify, first of all, there is a such thing as absolute authority. That absolute authority comes from only one person. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that holds absolute authority with no exceptions. Can you say amen right there? When you go to this authority, in the context of the husband, I like to call that this, limited authority. Because you see, there's no way that the husband is ever given liberty, Word of God, to take the place of God. That's unbiblical and that's a false teaching. To twist it to say that. That's not what the Scripture is saying. If you follow that line of truth, then you would be teaching that the husbands could command the wives to bow down and worship them. And we know that is blasphemy. There is absolute authority that is found in the person of Jesus Christ, and then there is a limited authority that God gives the husband. And also He gives government limited authority. He gives your boss this limited authority, and so on. But there is a limited authority here, and one of the reasons I believe that, because look with me at a parallel passage there found in Colossians. If you'll just flip over just about three books there. Would you go with me there? Colossians chapter number 3. Philippians. Go past Philippians, right past Ephesians, and then Philippians, then Colossians chapter number 3. I call this, we could call this a parallel passage dealing with the same subject. All right, so look there at chapter 3, verse 18. Notice what it says with me, and please don't miss it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We've already read that in Ephesians, but notice what the Holy Spirit put here in Colossians. As it is fit in the Lord. What that means, church, is that the wife is to submit as it is fitting, as it is appropriate. Because the Bible is indicating that there are times where for wives to submit, it would be inappropriate. It would be wrong. Example, if a husband were to command his wife to commit a crime, or if a husband would be abusive, or if a husband would seek to do something unethical or unlawful, in any of those ways, He's exempted from his authority at that point. of a forcing a wife to do something against the will of God. It is what we see here, as I mentioned, it is a limited authority. And there are some people out there, and it grieves my soul, that abuse this and basically make the wife a doormat and make the wife a puppet and make the wife a punching bag because they can say, hey, I have complete authority. I can do what I want to. That's blasphemy. It shall not be in the will of God. It's as fitting. You see, let me share a few things with you here that I think is very important for us to understand this morning. And I just sense the power of God here this morning. I appreciate you listening. So thankful for that. So thankful for the Lord. Let me share some things with you here about fictional submission. Please listen carefully. These are some things that are about fictional submission. These are basically attitudes of the world when it comes to submission. Number one, this is fiction. Women are the only ones to practice submission. That's false. We've already discovered that. Found out through the Word of God, we're all responsible for it. All Christians. Secondly, women are second-class slaves to their husbands because of submission. False. Thirdly, women are incapable of leadership. False. A submissive woman has no self-worth. False. A submissive woman has no rights. False. A submissive woman is suppressed and silenced. False. That's what the world teaches, but that's not what the Word of God teaches. It teaches very differently than what the world tries to twist things to say and what the world says and even false teachers. That is not true. I'm going to show you some things here that God makes very clear for the dear wife who's been called of God in a sacred role of following her husband's leadership, of loving him and supporting him as he fulfills the will of God. And yes, I know we'll get into what about if my husband is not a spiritual man, if he's not a saved man. The Bible talks about that. But we see here, not only do we see the definition of submission, the direction of submission, the degree of submission, but then we need to look at the design of submission. What is the design of submission? Well, according back to our passage there in Ephesians, God shows us a picture of course, Christ in the church. But first of all, I want to submit to you that I believe it is a design to show forth God's order. It is a design to show forth God's order. What do I mean by that? Well, why was the wife originally given to the husband or to Adam, if you will? Completion, right? Is that what the Bible says? To be a helpmeet, to complete him? He was not complete. God looked on Adam and said, you need help, son. He's still saying that today. You know, the reason the wife was given was because Adam needed help, and it's the same truth for today. It was to complete Adam, and it was an order of God. To complete the husband, the wife, through biblical submission, being placed under the leadership of her husband, is God's order. So marriage can fulfill its designed purpose to glorify God Almighty. It's the order of God. Eve was formed after Adam, not because she was least valuable. No, it was just the creation of God, the order of God. They are equal in value. There's none of this. But in roles, there is that. And it's nothing to shun. The feminist movement would get you to shun that idea. And that's sinful because God intended it to be beautiful and righteous and lovely and glorifying to God. And you see the order that Eve was formed after Adam, and also the origin of Eve. She was formed from Adam, Adam's rib. And I like what it was once said. She was not formed from his head so that she could control him. Neither was she formed from his feet that he might stomp on her. But she was made from his rib so that he could put her arm around her and protect her and be his co-laborer and friend and companion. You see, and the objective, as we mentioned, Eve was formed for Adam. God designed that. But then, secondly, not only to show forth God's order, but it was to show forth God's glory. Working together for the purpose of exalting Christ, marriage is intended for us to be able to better serve Christ. Together, in unison, they become one flesh. And it's a beautiful design by God, is it not? You're a team, husband and wife. Listen to me, you are a team, you are one in Christ. The husband and wife working harmoniously together in God's perfect design. That is the Lord's plan. Now, wives, as I see forth here the design, I want you to know you have a voice. Every wife has a voice in the marriage. Every wife has a say-so in everything that the family faces. And that's also a false teaching to say that that can't be. No, I'm saying it should be. But that voice is brought under control because wives, according to the Word of God, because of the fall, because of sin that has tainted you and me, the husbands and the wives. And remember, I'm going to be getting to the husbands where they got tainted, okay? I'll be getting to them. But wives, one of the things that you will be tempted in every day of your life in some way is to control your husband. And that is sinful. That should not be. Influence? Yes. Control? No. That's not your design. And when you go against God's design, I want to tell you, it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But you see here, you do have a voice, and we see from the Word of God that that's where the Lord intended it. Let me tell you, husbands, you have a voice too. And husbands, I want to tell you, I'm going to get into more of this, but your voice, make sure you're using it to show care and not just control. By the way, husbands, if you hadn't found this out yet, it is not a good idea to instruct your wife on how and why she should be submitting. I found that out the hard way. As a young husband, I'm not kidding. God's so gracious. My loving wife is so gracious. Thank you, honey. I just want to say publicly thank you for your grace. As a young husband, I thought it was my role to make sure that Joanna Lynn Jennings properly understood biblical submission. And I don't recommend that. I never recommend that. Because you know what? It is counterproductive. Because men, it is not your job, and some of you may not like this statement, but I'm going to say it anyway because I believe it's biblical. It is not your job to force submission upon your wife. It is not. That's God's business. It is God's business to form the heart of your wife to that place of sweet submission that's led by the Holy Spirit of God. That's God's work. Men, can I tell you something I've learned and I'm still learning? God knows I hadn't completely learned it and won't until I get to heaven, but Lord, please help me to grow. But the best way that you can teach your wife submission, men, please listen carefully. The best way that you can instruct your wife when it comes to the biblical role of submission is this, by your example of submitting yourselves to Jesus Christ. Men, you do that sweetly to your Lord with a submissive heart and the will of God, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're showing forth the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, long-suffering, temperance, and your wife is seeing that on a daily basis. I want to tell you, she'll pick up on submission real quick. Where do you think the church learns submission? Where do you think the church learns submission? We learn it from Jesus Christ, don't we? He showed us submission. So just as Paul says, that's exactly what he means. Just as the men learn from Jesus Christ in this form of submission, I believe the wives will learn submission, yes, from their Lord, but then it will be the husband that God gives them to show that submission. And men, mark it down. If you are an unsubmissive to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're rebellious against His will, I want to tell you, your wife's going to have a hard time submitting. Men, why don't we make it easier for our wives and submit sweetly to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him control us? Man, I'm sorry I had to get to you. I'll go ahead and get to you. But there'll be more of that. But we see here, the design of submission is God's order, and it's not for any of us to buck or to demean. But can I say this in closing? Let's look at the disposition of submission. The disposition of submission. That's very important. According to this passage of Scripture that we read, for the wife to submit with a sweet spirit. An eager young wife made this quote one time in counseling, and as it goes back to that, there's a temptation there. She made this statement to the counselor, and she was being transparent. She was wanting to get victory, but this is what she said. I want him to be the head. I want him to be the leader. I just want to make sure that he makes decisions in keeping with what I want. And ladies, let me warn you with grace, that will be a temptation. You may pretend to be submissive and pretend to be outward about it, but in your heart, and then it comes showing you, because you know how you can tell if it's the true submission is not there. I'm going to tell you, it's a big word with M, and it's called manipulation. And when a wife does not biblically submit, but she carnally submits on the outward, but the heart is far from him, and it comes through her face and her eyes and her actions, even to the point of perhaps refraining herself from any physical attraction. And I want to tell you what, that is not biblical submission. That is downright sinful. And what we need to understand from the Word of God is it says that the disposition of submission is important to God, because when we submit to Christ, and ladies and husbands, when we submit to Christ, it should be with the right disposition. Not, oh, I'm tired of this Christian life, can't do this, and can't believe He led me here, can't believe He did this or moved that or brought this into my life. I can't believe Christ is doing this to me. Oh, this is just not right. This is not what I've planned. This is not what I've decided. And we don't maybe say that outwardly like that, but many times it's coming from the heart. And we need to understand that this deference here is important. Wife, in your role of submission, you can do it with respect. And you can do it there lovingly. You have a voice, but it must be done in a respectful manner. Can I just give you a couple tidbits here that will help you wives and future wives? Let me tell you something. One of the things that you can do to show forth this right disposition and submission, listen, refrain from correcting your husbands publicly. You can embarrass him that way. Crush his heart. All right? God's put in his heart to be a leader, but if you take it upon yourself to correct him, but especially publicly, you're going to embarrass him, and it's going to make it worse. He's going to respond in a very negative way to that. Also, in front of the children, husbands, let me exhort you. And wives, let me exhort you. Do not correct your husbands in front of the children. If you have a disagreement with your husband, you want to show some biblical submission and with a right disposition, wait till you meet privately, unless it's an emergency, of course. Wait till you meet privately and talk to your husband and share your disagreement. You have every right to share a disagreement. And husbands, if you ever try to silence the voice of your wives, you are in sin. It is God's will for the wife to have a voice in every decision made in the home.
every decision. But the final decision, God has delegated to the husband. He has that authority to make the final decision. But I thank God for my wife. And I thank God that I can go to her in confidence. I haven't always. And I need to do it more. But when I can get my wife's opinion. And what is your perspective on this, honey? And you need to let men, we need to let our wives have a voice. And consider it with respect. But ladies, when I say that, I say, look, don't belittle your husband. Maybe he's not the spiritual man you want to be. Don't belittle him. Don't talk about how he's carnal and whatever he needs to be. Don't rag on him. That's wrong. I heard a testimony recently that this pastor, he was in his first couple of years of pastoring, and his dear wife, they were barely making ends meet, and some bills came up, and it got ugly, quite honestly, as far as they're behind on bills and debt, and he was working tirelessly every day as a young pastor. And he came home one night and found that his wife, surprisingly, had a candlelight dinner out. And he says, he'll never forget it. He said it really changed his life. It changed his perspective. But he came inside and wow, honey, right there, set up, candlelight dinner. And so we went to the bedroom and he's just going to get his coat off went to his bedroom. And sure enough, went to turn on the light and the light didn't come on. He's like, what in the world? Then he went into the bathroom to turn the bathroom light on, and it didn't come on. And of course, he started picking up on what was going on then, and he said what his wife did, he will never forget. He walked back in there, and she was crying. She's like, honey, you work so hard. You do so much for our family. You provide for us. You love us. You care for us, but I didn't want to embarrass you. I want to encourage you. Folks, that's the right disposition. That lady right there, that pastor said it changed his life when his wife made it a point. And he could have walked in and said, honey, look what's happened. You're not managing the money properly. Things aren't going right. Look at the job you got. You got to get another job. What's going on? We got our lights out. All my life in my daddy's home, we never went without the lights. We always had food on the table. Everything was provided. She could have ragged him and broke that man and pushed that man away because she took it upon herself to correct that man and to rebuke that man. And wife, just like it's not your husband's job to rebuke you into submission, it is not your job to rebuke your husband into leadership. You have got to let your husband lead. Yes, he may be struggling. Yes, he may not be the spiritual hero you are wanting him to be, but you pray for him and you submit to him as it is fitting in the Lord, as it is appropriate. Not to do anything illegal or for him to allow him to be abusive anyway, whether it be physical or verbal. You don't have to put up with that. God doesn't expect you to put up with that in the sense of taking it as abuse. You have a voice. You can make a stand, but you still at the same time, by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, can submit graciously in every other way. That will win his heart. That will help him be the leader he needs to be. That will pump confidence into that man like you had never dreamed of, ladies. And that's what you want to do. You realize that God has called him to have the biblical role of leading. So the last thing you want to do is to tear that down. You want to prop it up. You want to encourage it. You want to strengthen it. You want to support it as much as you can. And you're going to have to do it with forgiveness because we mess up a lot. We do. But I believe with the disposition, the right disposition of submission, I believe there will be great forgiveness. Ladies who are married here this morning, I want you to know I have the utmost respect for you. You have a sacred role that's just as valuable as the husband's role. Equal. But can I tell you, by the authority of the Word of God, God has put you in a position of your responsibility to be under your husband. Not to be stomped on in any way, but to be led, to be protected, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. That's what Christ does to the church. And He does it through His Spirit. And I believe that is why the example we have here. In closing, may I use this illustration? It's not a perfect illustration, but it'll help me get the point here that helped me. Now, when you're pulling out on Interstate 85, I can tell you, depending on what ramp you're getting off on, it can be downright dangerous. Scary. Especially with 18-wheelers and whatnot. But, you know, you imagine with me for a moment, there is an 18-wheeler that's coming on, wanting to get on the on-ramp, and then you got this little Volkswagen or a little Prius, maybe. No offense, Brother Bill, but they're all small cars. But let me pause there for a second in the middle of that illustration, and let me say something here. Ladies, I know that you are spiritual. I know you have gifts. I know you are intelligent. I know that you are beautiful, and God's going to use you in a great way to be a blessing to your husbands, those that are married and going to be married. God's going to bless that. But listen, there are going to be a temptation for you when you go into marriage to think that you got one over on your husband because he's not leading like he should. Perhaps you're more spiritual. Perhaps you read your Bible more. Perhaps you pray more. And then what the devil's going to convince you, look at you. You're more spiritual than him. You just need to go ahead and take over. You don't need to show the deference. You need to show that you can have your way and just get on over and have your way. Can I just pause there? That's going to be a temptation. But can I tell you, in that way, you got that 18-wheeler coming off that ramp. You got the little Prius coming up. Now, what this 18-wheeler, he's a lot bigger, okay? He's a lot bigger. He's got a lot more power. All those things are true. And he could truly just push that little Prius out of the way with no problem. Could crush that Prius with no problem. And if you drive around here long enough, they will try to do that from time to time, by the way. But for the sake of illustration, let me tell you, he could do that, but it would be illegal. And if an accident would have happened, if tragedy would have happened, I want to tell you, it would be the 18-wheeler's fault. Because he has to give deference, he has to yield and give that one rank, to give that one the lead and allow them to go, and then he has the right to go in. And I'm afraid in many marital relationships, wives, many times you come in, and you are convinced in your mind from your flesh and from the devil that you can just push him right over. But if you do, you're going to cause a lot of harm, a lot of havoc. And you just can't do that biblically and be glorifying to God. Allow him to lead as it is fitting in the Lord. And let your marriage come together by the Holy Spirit of God. And for my dear sisters who are struggling, who either has a lost husband or maybe a husband that's just not right with God, can I tell you, you show submission as it is appropriate. And try to give that sense of spirit to him. And the Bible teaches that a chaste conversation will win that husband. But at the same time, you have every right to have a voice and a protection. But you do it as unto the Lord. Let's pray together.